Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janam Vallabha Girivardhari Gopi Janam Vallabha Girivardhari Yashoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Nitai Gaura Haribol, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribol. Nitai Gaura Haribol, 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 Gaura Haribol.
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya. Asodra Sata Shishima to His Divine Loving Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya. Asodra Sata Shishima to His Divine Loving Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki. Prem Sakaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garapa Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Champunda Radha Kungiri Govardhan Ki. Brajbhumi Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki. Shri Navadeep Dham Ki. Purushottam Kshetra Jagannath Puri Dham Ki. Samavita Bhakta Vrinda Ki. Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. For a start, I'd like to seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas so that I may be empowered to say something useful for both yourselves and myself too. This is my first class in Mayapur, so as understandable, nerves are there. But service must go on, so we'll continue. But still, I'd like to seek your tolerance and understanding. If I do make any mistakes, please forgive me. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam, 10th canto. Actually, this is Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on the 10th canto. And there's a verse there where he says that I've come here to the assembly of devotees posing as a merchant of jewels, and I'm sure the learned devotees will see right through my facade and know that I'm actually not a merchant of jewels. But I don't mind, because at least even if they laugh at me, I would perform the pious activity of making devotees laugh. So I'm here knowing that I have no qualifications, but I still know that I'll get some benefits by sitting in front of the devotees and getting corrected. And even if I make the devotees laugh, I'll still get some pious credits. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak here today. So today's verse is the third verse of the first chapter of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Canto is entitled The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction. Chapter is entitled The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction. So we'll recite Sanskrit together, then the word for word transliteration, then translation in the purport. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 3. Avatiryaya Dorvamshe Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavanah Kritavan Yani Vishwatma Tani Novada Vistarat Avatiryaya Dorvamshe Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavana Kritavan Yadi Vishwatma Tani Novada Vistarat Avatiryaya Dorvamshe Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavana Kritavan Yani Vishwatma Dani no vada vistarat. Vaishnavis?
Sorry.
Go on. Vaishnavis? So, word for word transliteration and translation by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Avatirya, after descending, Yadavamshe, in the dynasty of Yadu, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhuta Bhavana, who is the cause of the cosmic manifestation? Kritavan, executed. Yani, whatever activities. Vishwatma, the supersoul of the entire universe. Tani, all of those activities. Na unto us, Vada, kindly say, Vishtarat, elaborately. Translation. The Supersoul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the cause of the cosmic manifestation, appeared in the dynasty of Yadu. Please tell me elaborately about his glorious activities and character from the beginning to the end of his life. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. In this verse, the words Kritavan Yani indicate that all the different activities Krishna performed while present on earth are beneficial to human society. If religionists, philosophers, and people in general simply hear the activities of Krishna, they will be liberated. We have described several times that there are two kinds of Krishna Katha, represented by Bhagavad Gita, spoken personally by Krishna about himself, and Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by Shukadev Goswami about the glories of Krishna. Anyone who becomes even slightly interested in Krishna Katha is liberated. Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Muktasanga Param Vrajay. Bhagavatam 12th Canto, Chapter 3, Text 51. Simply by chanting or repeating Krishna Katha, one is liberated from the contamination of Kali Yuga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised, Jare Dekot Tarekaha Krishna Upadesh, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 7.128. This is the mission of Krishna consciousness, to hear about Krishna and thus be liberated from material bondage. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sarajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Pitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyasa Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So this is a very important verse for a variety of reasons. And we see that every verse in Bhagavatam contains important information which is relevant to the life of devotees. Even the verses where descriptions of dynasties are made, you can still learn something from them. And each verse and each purport contains explicit and implicit instruction and information. Some verses, the point and the theme immediately jumps out at you. Some verses, you have to apply your intelligence to try to draw out some other relevant points. So obviously this verse and the purport, specifically the purport, the main point is the importance of hearing about the glories of Krishna, Krishna Katha. But one thing that I find really interesting about this verse also and purport is that for me this shows something very important about the character of Krishna and the character of the devotees of Krishna. Here Krishna is described as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul, and the cause of cosmic manifestation. But at the same time, it's explained that he appears on this earth. And the reason why Krishna appears on the earth is really simple. Compassion. This is what jumps out at me when I read this. Out of compassion for the fallen living entities, Krishna takes the time to come to the material world. Of course, he comes to enjoy with his associates, but he makes sure that he leaves enough behind so that people who study these pastimes with his associates can also benefit. And his associates also take part in the act by discussing and inciting others to discuss the glories of Krishna, glorious activities that he came to perform, so that we can learn and study those and derive lessons from them. Such a beautiful arrangement. Normally people in this world, they complain about God, saying that God cannot exist because the world is such a miserable place, right? And they say that because the world is a miserable place, there can't be anyone who created it, because if someone had created it, they wouldn't have made it such a bad place. Right? There was a Jewish rabbi by the name of Harold Kushner, and he was a proponent of this philosophy called theodicy, which is basically trying to study the concept of evil, right? Why does evil happen in the world? And he started studying this in depth because he had a son who suffered from the disease called Legeria, I believe. And this disease basically makes the person who's afflicted by the disease age at a much faster rate than the average person. So he had a son who was in his teenage, he was like 10 years or something, and a preteen, and the boy got old so quickly that he ended up dying. And this Harold Kushner could not handle the tragedy. And to try to find meaning in his tragedy, he came up with this theory that God must be all good, but he can't be all powerful. Because if God was all good and all powerful, God would make sure that no one in this world will suffer, right? But we still see that there is suffering in the world. So he came to the understanding that means that God is not all powerful, because he couldn't accept the fact that God would be all bad, couldn't be all good. And we know, of course, that this is a ridiculous notion, because you cannot have a God who is not all powerful, because that defeats the purpose of him being referred to as God. But this is a classic example of the length people go to deal with miserable experiences in this world. They create philosophies where they try to philosophically kill God. They cannot kill him practically, so philosophically they try to kill him by denying his existence and giving up, coming up with varieties of arguments. And one of the biggest arguments is that he lacks compassion. But when you study the Bhagavatam, you can see that the Lord is actually the most compassionate person, right? We understand that the reason why we came to this material world is because we tried to enjoy separately for Krishna. There are some people who ascribe to the other notion that we never came from the spiritual world, but that's another kind of discussion. If you ascribe to the first notion that we came from the spiritual world to the material world, Prabhupada explains that the reason why we came is because we decided to turn our back from Krishna because we are feeling envious of Krishna. Now I want to ask you a question. If you had a friend who you spent many years with, right, you grew very affectionate with that friend, and you gave everything to that friend, then one day that friend decided that they had enough of your company and they wanted to leave. How would you feel? One word. Devastated. Any other word? Frustrated. Disappointed. You are really nice people. I will be fuming. I'll be very angry. Because you've invested a lot of time and energy in the relationship, and then suddenly this person decides to turn their back on you. Now, imagine if that same friend who turns their back on you goes to another area and then starts to spread rumors and lies about you and starts to tell people that you're a bad person. You were never actually a good friend. In fact, they left you because you were cheating them, you know? And to them, you're just as good as dead. How do you feel? You will be fuming again. Probably go on Facebook and try to clear your name, right? So most people do nowadays, right? You'll be angry, fuming, furious. Now imagine if that same friend came back to you after having done that and then asked him, say, hey, you know what happened that time, right? I was joking, you know, that it wasn't serious, right? You're actually my friend, right? How would you feel? Would you forgive them immediately, or how would you go about dealing with them? You think twice before taking them back in, wouldn't you? Huh? You test them. You think twice before taking them back in, because if this person could go to such an extent to like tarnish my reputation and call me bad names in front of my other friends and make me look like a bad person, and now they want to turn back around and tell me, okay, forget it, it's all water under the bridge, let's squash it, it's okay, I wouldn't be so quick to take them back in. But there is one person who, despite having done all these things to them, they still, again and again, take their friend back in. Who's that? Krishna. Right? We've turned our back from Krishna so many lifetimes ago. We decided to go it alone, try to do our own thing. Not only does Krishna let us go, it gives us a place where we can try to play his role, pretend to be him. It gives us the intelligence by which we can come up with arguments and points to make him look bad. And he tolerates again and again and again, life after life. He accompanies us within the heart as the super soul. This is the greatness of Krishna. Krishna, he's not just the greatest personality, he's not the supreme personality of Godhead, he's the greatest friend. So when people sometimes, out of ignorance, misunderstand this, verses like this serve to establish this principle. He comes down to the material world. And not only does he come down to the material world, he performs activities that he knows. By discussing those activities, we will get purified, we will get benefited. It gives us a process by which we can get reinstated in our relationship with him. And the process, as Prabhupada touches upon here, is the process of hearing and chanting his glories. So at the end of the purport, Prabhupada explains that this is why the Krishna Consciousness Movement's mission is all about hearing and chanting, because by hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna, one can achieve liberation. Another very important point which I get from this purport, translation specifically, is the nature of a devotee. Parikshit Maharaj. Not only is God great, but his devotee is also great. And the greatness of Parikshit Maharaj is demonstrated by the way he handles calamities. You can see the strength of a person when they're tested. A lot of the time people are very comfortable and confident to present themselves as great people when things are going nicely. But when challenges come, when tests come, when people disappear, right? Because difficulties bring out what's inside. But here we have a person who, he's got 7 days to live. Actually, at this stage in the narration, 7 days, most of the 7 days have expired, right? We're in the 10th canto, so it's 2 more cantos. 10 cantos are gone. Right? So most of the 7 days have expired. So he's going to die soon. And he's the emperor of the world. He could do anything he wants. He tried to use the resources available to him to try to get himself out of that situation, right? Which is what most people would do. Right? Most people nowadays don't want to die, and they'll go to extreme lengths to make sure they don't die, right? To the point where they will drink chemicals to make sure that they live longer, right? I was doing some research about some of the crazy things people did to try to achieve immortality. And it's really, really far out what some people did. There's a man who, he believed that chemicals from the scrotum of a guinea pig. You know what a guinea pig is? A guinea pig go around. You know what a scrotum is? The testicle area. So this man, he goes and he basically operates on a guinea pig and then takes some chemicals from the testicle area of the guinea pig and he absorbs it. And he does this regularly with the aim of achieving immortality because he believes that the chemicals have within them the potency to make you live longer. That's just one example. There's another person who went as far as drinking gold, right? Molten gold, because they felt that this would keep them younger for longer, right? I think Cleopatra, the queen of Egypt, used to drink, I believe it was urine or something like that. So people will go to extreme lengths. There's a rumor that Walt Disney, you may or may not know who Walt Disney is. He's a very famous cartoonist. And it is said that Walt Disney paid a lot of money to scientists and researchers to freeze his body while they do research to figure out how to keep people alive forever. So he figured that if they keep my body frozen, then when technology is advanced to a point where they're able to keep people alive, then they can revive me and I'll be the first recipient of this technology and then I can live forever. And the joke goes that while Walt Disney was in this state, frozen state, his family was bickering amongst themselves because the family fortune was being wasted on keeping him frozen, not keeping this machine going. And they were fighting, and then decided that enough is enough, this guy is crazy, let's just unplug the machine. So they said unplug the machine, and that was the end of Walt Disney. Don't know if this is true or not, but this again shows the extreme lengths people will go to stay alive. But in the material world, everybody dies. Bhagavatam explains it. You can't avoid it. Prabhupada explains that it's 100% death rate in the material world. Even Lord Brahma, who lives for trillions of years, he also dies. Hiranyakashipu went to extreme lengths, even further than the average human being. He also died. He was killed by the Lord. People cannot avoid dying. Because people are afraid of dying because they don't know what's lying ahead. Because as non-devotees, they've not invested, they've not done the research, they've not prepared themselves for what's lying ahead. So the fear, the unknown, and they think that the way to remedy this is by coming up with different methods to avoid dying. But it's impossible. Right? The key is to prepare oneself for death. And here we have an example of a person who has done that, and that's Parikshit Maharaj. And how has he done that? By spending time hearing about the glories of the Supreme Lord. Right? So sometimes when we explain to people that this is the method, like Prabhupada says here, this is a surefire method to achieve liberation, because people are complicated by nature, they think this is too simplistic, so they dismiss it. Right? You mean I just have to hear a lecture, or just have to hear a conversation, just have to hear a narration, or read a book, and that's it, I'll achieve liberation? No, this can't be, this is simplistic. But the mistake is that just because it's simple does not mean it's simplistic. Simple means it's easy. Simplistic means it's naive to think so. But thinking like this, that chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord is not naive. Actually, what it does is shows It's so simple that it actually shows the genius of Krishna, where he's devised a process that everybody and anybody can take up to, right? He's used an element that we are all exposed to on a constant basis, sound. An element that has a very powerful effect on us as a way to enter into our consciousness. Right? This is again the glory of Krishna. Right? He's made the process easy. He's forgiven us, he's compassionate to us, and he makes the process really easy for us. Right? So Prabhupada explains here that devotees have to share this process with as many people as possible. Right? Because unless this is done, the world is going towards hell at a very rapid rate. Yes. They come up with different methods to try to deal with problems of life, but these methods don't work. The only method is to connect one's life to Krishna. Like that. Right? Why don't these methods work? Because these methods have not taken into consideration some very important aspects. They focused on the body, the mind, and forgotten about the soul. Like that. That equation is lacking, and because that very important part of the equation is lacking, everything else that comes after that is also flawed. Okay. Because the body is temporary, the mind is always changing. The only thing that is permanent is the soul. So as much as you can try to take care of the body, as much as you try to take care of the soul, the mind, it's all going to disappear anyway. The only thing that's going to last is the soul. So the example is given, you've heard this example many times before. It's like polishing the cage but not taking care of the bird inside. Right? Just polishing the cage, not taking care of the bird inside, the bird eventually dies. So the solution is to chant the glories of the Lord, and the solution is to share these glories of the Lord worldwide. Right? And this is what Prabhupada expected devotees to do. So here he's talking about, he quotes Lord Chaitanya. The Lord Chaitanya therefore advised Krishna Upadesh that wherever you go, you should give people instructions about Krishna, how to chant Krishna's glories, how to chant Krishna's name. Because by chanting the glories of Krishna and the glories of the name of Krishna, people will achieve the ultimate benefit of life, which is liberation from the material world. Right. This is a very important point being made here. So chanting the glories of Krishna will give one the ultimate benefit, and we have to preach the glories of Krishna worldwide to as many people as possible. Because as followers of Prabhupada, it's our responsibility to continue on his legacy. Right? And if we don't preach, then we can be held complicit to the suffering of other living entities. Because we know the solution to the suffering, we have access to that solution, we know what works. And if we don't share with them, then we are also culpable, right? It's like you see someone who's dying on the street, bleeding to death, and you're walking past, you ignore them, playing on your phone instead. Is that good or bad? It's not good, it's bad. So as devotees, we have this responsibility to share Krishna consciousness with as many people as possible in whatever capacity we can, right? Because unless we do so, at the end of the day, our own spiritual progress will be stunted. Our own spiritual growth will be halted because we did not extend the mercy that we were giving ourselves to someone else. If it wasn't for someone else taking the time to share Krishna consciousness, we would not be sitting here. Right? In Bhagavatam, we see that there is nobody who comes to Krishna consciousness without the association of devotees, except maybe Lord Brahma. All the great devotees had association and instruction from another great devotee, Narad Muni, right? Vyasadeva, Dhruva Maharaj, Spiritual life does not begin until and unless one gets the association of devotees. So if as carriers of the mercy, we do not put ourselves in a position where we can connect people to Krishna, we are doing something wrong. We're doing a disservice to Krishna. We are not fulfilling our obligation. And this can start to affect our own spiritual life, because the mercy comes to the degree that you give it. Like that. We're a charitable organization on one level. It's gone. On one level, we're a charitable organization. And one of the criteria to qualify oneself as a charitable organization is that one has to do charity. And when the government or the local institution sees that you're performing charity, then they give more resources and they give you a status. The status as a charitable organization is solidified, and you don't have to pay any taxes and you become tax exempt. But if you don't perform charity, you're no longer classified as a charitable organization, and then you have to follow the same rules as every other organization. So the same also applies to spiritual life. If we don't share Krishna consciousness with others, we really do not, it'll be difficult to make ourselves eligible for Krishna's mercy, because it's supposed to flow, but we're keeping it to ourselves. This is another very important reason. For our own benefit, we have to preach to others. Because we are preaching to others, we endear ourselves to Krishna, as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, that he who shares knowledge with my devotees and with others is dear to me, and there's no one more dear to me than him. Yeah? So for our own benefit, we preach on one level, so we can get the mercy of Krishna. On another level, by preaching, we're able to hold back the advancement of Kali Yuga. Right? Because we are in the material world, we may be in our own little environment where we are getting association of devotees and getting the mercy of the devotees, but we're still within the material world. And this material world is going to hell at a rapid rate. And there's only us as individuals, members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, who can do something about it, because every other organization has completely missed the point. The non-devotees are the commies. They don't know what the goal of life is. They think the goal of life is to accumulate as many material resources as possible. The pseudo-spiritualists, they don't know what the goal of life is. In fact, they're much worse, because the commies, they don't know where they're going. But the Mayavadis, the pseudo-religionists, they're pretending that they know where people are going, where they should be going, and they're misguiding people. They're even worse. They're also confused. There is no one else but the Vaishnavas who can actually give the solution and guide people. So it is our responsibility, because if we don't, then Kali will progress in such a way that it will become difficult for us also to perform our devotion service. You know, things are easier at the moment because it's the golden age, and the golden age is exemplified by the chanting of the holy name. Wherever the chanting of the holy name, wherever the chanting of Krishna glories and the sharing of Krishna katha is going on, that is the golden age. But if that stops happening, then there is no more any golden age, even within the golden age. It's interesting. So therefore, there's a great responsibility on us to share the process of Krishna consciousness with as many people as possible. Because we're indebted to Prabhupada, and there was nothing that pleased Prabhupada even more so than sharing Krishna consciousness. To the point that he took on so many difficulties at a very advanced age, where he crossed the ocean to go to a foreign country. In Bhaktivedanta manner, when we were trying to, the devotees were fighting with the council to keep the temple open, because the temple was attracting such a big congregation. Because this was during a time when there was some conflict in Africa, and many of the Indian settlers in Africa were kicked out by some dictator called Idi Amin, and they had nowhere to take shelter, so they came to the UK. And there were religious people, so they needed, there were Hindus, so they needed a place to worship. And the best place they found was Bhaktivedanta Manor, because that was the biggest place in London at the time. But what was happening is that there were so many of them coming regularly, and the temple was sharing the gate with a village nearby, a small village, very quiet place. An English hamlet, they call it. Very peaceful place. You walk around, you know, birds are chirping. And then suddenly they get all these Hindus coming out of nowhere with their big cars. Because, you know, Hindus means money. So Mercedes, beep, 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 just wife and kids coming out, shouting, the kids running. So you can understand the British shares were upset. So they complained to the council and said, let's close this temple. So the devotees were fighting to keep the temple open, which eventually they did manage to do so. But at that time, they hired a lawyer, a solicitor, a very big solicitor, who used to work for, I believe he worked for the Queen, the QC, Queen's Council or whatever. So he was a big solicitor. And he was fairly old, and he came once to the temple to address the devotees. And as part of his work to try to help the devotees, he wanted to know a bit more about the devotees, so he was given Prabhupada Lilamrita to read as well. So one day he came to the temple, they arranged for him to address the devotees. And the first thing he said, you guys have no idea how great your spiritual master is. And devotees are, what do you mean then? This is Prabhupada. We're giving our life to Prabhupada. You just turned up out of nowhere and you're telling us he's great. We don't know. He said, you have no idea how great your spiritual master is, what such a great personality is. He said, why? Because I know what it feels like to be old. When your bones are not working anymore, when they're creaking while you walk in and you want to sit down every 5 minutes because you can't stay standing for too long, when you're running out of breath, you know? I know what it feels like. But I'm amazed that this gentleman, at such an advanced age, he left his country and came to a foreign place where he didn't know anybody, only because another person gave him an instruction to do so. Didn't even give him any resources, just an instruction. And he still took that instruction on board and he crossed the ocean to come and share this message with people he didn't know. People, he didn't have any idea how they would respond. He came and did that. So I'm amazed. Such a great personality. Eh? Many people recognize the glories of Prabhupada because what Prabhupada did was amazing. Many people from other organizations also. They may find many faults with our organization because we ourselves are trying our best, but there's one person that they cannot find any fault with, and that's Prabhupada, because what Prabhupada did, no one had done before. Okay. So if Prabhupada did that, then what we need to do as devotees, we also need to share the message. So how do we do that? He's given the formula, very simple formula. Harinam Sankirtan, Krishna Katha, Prasadam distribution. A, B, C, D. Association, books, chanting, diet. And then when people are ready, give them E, engagement in devotional service. You make them join a Bhakta program or something like that. So there's a variety of ways in which we can share Krishna consciousness. It's just the desire has to be there. And if the desire is there, then Krishna gives the intelligence. There is actually no excuse. One does not need to be a great speaker, right? Because if you look at the preachers in our movement, they're not that great as speakers when you take into consideration some of the different skills and techniques people need in order to be able to deliver a message. But all they have is the desire to share the message. And because that desire is there, Krishna is empowering them to share that message also. Because they have that faith in a spiritual master. But even then, one does not need to give lectures. In our own life, our day-to-day life, how can we help bring people closer to Krishna? Because ultimately, that's what preaching means. How can I assist this person to get closer to Krishna in whatever way? Right? Prabhupada used to do it regularly. He would go on the morning walk in London. A non-devotee, Westerner, would walk past him, say, morning, Prabhupada said morning also. What is like Prabhupada? Why didn't you say Hare Krishna? Because we're saying morning, they're happy, and if they're happy, then they make advancement. Because if they have good feelings towards a devotee, they also make spiritual advancement. That also is preaching. And anybody can do it. And if we can do it, then Krishna will give us more mercies to the point that when we chant and hear, we can also relish it. And then we can distribute the overflow, which is what Prabhupada wanted us to do. So, I'll stop here. And I've got a couple of minutes for questions. If anyone has any questions, any comments or corrections or additions, then please feel free.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, generally we used to use the word karmis, karmis, karmis. So who are the karmis? In the human beings, everybody is having their own faith and they used to chant their own mantras. If that is the case, when the people do not turn up to Krishna consciousness, are we thinking that they are impious people?
Sorry, can you repeat that? The last one? Can you repeat? Mataji needs to hear also, and I would like to hear again. Can you repeat that?
So, again? We are generally, we used to have a word karmis, karmis, karmis. So people are used to chant with their own mantras, different, different mantras. So it means in everybody's God consciousness. Until suppose we think, you know, they do not have Krishna consciousness, are we treat them as karmis?
So your question is, if people don't take to Krishna consciousness, but they're practicing some other religious process, are they still classified as karmis?
Yes.
If the question is in response to me saying karmis, then I apologize. My intention was not to denigrate another group of people. I just want to make that clear. That's why I use the quote-unquote karmis. It's just a term that we sometimes use so that it's easier to differentiate what kind of person we're talking about. You know, there's karmis, there's jnanis, there's yogis, and then there's bhaktas. Right? And generally, non-devotees have a karmic mentality, which means that they're thinking about how to exploit the material energy and enjoy the resources of the material energy. So this is why I use that term. It wasn't done with the intention of insulting anybody. Now, addressing your question is, if someone is practicing some other path, but not Krishna consciousness, are they a karmi? It is possible for them to be a karmi. It's just a state of consciousness. A devotee can also be a karmi in some sense. Karma Mishra Bhakta. Right? He's mixed. Right? Karmi means basically to what extent I'm thinking about myself. To what extent I'm using Krishna's resources for myself. That's a karmi. So it doesn't matter if you're dressed in a dhoti kurta, wearing tilak and navinasika. If that's your consciousness, in one way, you are a karmi. So other people practicing other paths can be considered karmis in one sense because of that. Does that answer your question? Yes? Thank you very much. Anything else or not? Any other question? I'll stop here. Thank you very much. Thank you for tolerating. And hopefully I'll get another opportunity. If not, then I can say at least I gave plus one in my apple. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.